And we are live, Roll Tide Roll, as we come to you from Innisfree right here on University Boulevard. And this is the weekend. We hadn't had one like this in Tuscaloosa in many, many a year. But it is Texas in town tomorrow night, and it is going to be a fantastic week for us, for all of you that come by Innisfree, for the people that will watch the game in the quad, not to mention those that will be in the suites and the end zones and all the seats that encompass Bryant-Denny Stadium. But once again, we are coming to you, as we will every single Friday throughout the football season, from Innisfree. And they've got a meet and three for $9.99 that'll knock a Texas Longhorn over. And we've got a lot of things going on here. And, of course, you know their selection of beers. And, of course, as the day grows on, until 2 o'clock, we'll have many, many really good guests.
And right out of the gate here, we have an amazing guest, Mayor of Tuscaloosa, Walt Maddox, a close friend of mine. Walt, how you doing? And you're not busy at all, are you?
Let me tell you something. We are slammed in a very good way. It's okay. I'm on the clock, but can I drink? Can we have drinks right now?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea.
We're in Trip Rogers world right
here. Jamie, come here.
No, I'm just. This is why Matt's the best in the business.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I tell you what, it is fantastic. You can feel the vibe in Tuscaloosa. I've been at a couple of events today, and you can feel the energy. This game, although we were talking off air about 2011 LSU, 2019 LSU, the energy and anticipation of this one is something I haven't felt in a long, long time. It's really exciting to be here in T-Town.
What lessons did you learn from both of those games you just referenced in terms of just putting together logistics and infrastructure to prepare for this massive influx of humanity into your town?
Well, to give you some sense of how big it is, we're 111,000 on normal days. We'll go to about 250,000 during game day. So we more than double the size of our population. With this game and how it mirrors LSU back in 19 and 11 is that it's more than just what's in the stadium. You're going to have 10 to 15,000 people who are not going to be in the stadium, who are just going to be here for the event. How we move them, how we secure them, how we transport if something goes sideways, those are lessons that we learned from 11 that we will apply to 19. UA has an unbelievable game day operation. Our job is to be best supporting actors in that, and we've put a lot of assets in play. We realize what a big deal this is, and we want the Texas fans to have a good time, except during the ball game, and we want them to spend a lot of money, and we want our Alabama fans to have a great time and enjoy the Tuscaloosa experience.
What is the economic impact projected to be for the city just for this weekend?
You know, you really don't know. You've seen estimates somewhere of $20 to $25 million of new dollars that are in your economy that you otherwise wouldn't have. The thing that's different about Alabama football today than it was even 10 years ago is that it used to be kind of a Friday night, Saturday. Now it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning type of event. And so it certainly is good for all of us. Now, we only have 4,000 hotel rooms in Tuscaloosa, so you're going to fill up those 4,000 whether you're playing Texas or Southwest Texas. Okay. The impact comes from the earlier days people come into your city to spend money, to come to Innisfree, get the meet and three and a cold beer. That's where you make more of your money. And you, by the way, create a lot of jobs for people in our community.
Well, first questions and priority here. Where did you get that sport code? Because I would like to take it home. I'm a sport coat guy.
Are you?
Yeah.
Walt's wife dresses him. I know that.
I don't know if they're your sponsor, but they should be after I tell you. Mobley and Sons.
So okay. I know of them.
We'll go wrap them in. But yeah, Chris took good care of me. He always makes certain that he tells me he wants me to make sure I look good enough to be his mayor. So I try.
You mentioned cold beer. And a year ago, we were talking an awful lot about that because Bryant-Denny Stadium was going to start serving alcohol. And I think we can all know the potential for issues there. I'm not going into what y'all had to go through with Bryant-Denny and University of Alabama. Did it and is it going okay?
It's going very well. And, you know, we did have a disagreement with the university. But like everything, any two big organizations, you sit down, you work it out and have a great positive relationship. I was texting Greg Byrne yesterday. And we've been working with Rose administration since May just on today. So Yeah, we had a disagreement, but we, as any organizations, you work through those disagreements. But overall, the sale has been going fantastic. UA does a great job managing it. They've been very responsible with it, and we haven't seen any negative impacts as of yet.
Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama broker, is sitting to my right, and she has been nice enough to come up here and contribute. And as the president-elect of the Red Elephant Club, this lady knows her stuff. So I thought I would introduce you, and she might have a question for you.
Well, I do have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I saw the press release about the mayor of Texas and you having a bet here on barbecue. My question is, do we get to share in that barbecue yeah. when Texas sends it over here?
Absolutely. And so we hope they will follow through and deliver it after we win 34-13. You can go ahead and
34-13.
Mark it down. I've heard good things about Micklewaite, I think Central Barbecue out of Austin, Texas. So I'm looking forward to have some. You know what? We just may, Dr. Rush, we just may have a town hall meeting and open up the barbecue for all of Tuscaloosa to enjoy. You know, it's fun to highlight your cities. Austin is one of the top 10 largest cities in the United States, and so we look forward to making them sad on Saturday night.
Walt, is it just in terms of infrastructure, is it all hands on deck for Saturday, just in terms of your police, fire and rescue, and just all of your emergency personnel?
Yes, sir. It's hands, toes, whatever you can throw into the mix. Because here's the trick we have to do. It's not only about the central part of our city, which is where you have the highest concentration of population. We have 71 square miles of city of Tuscaloosa. So we've got to not only make certain that all of our 200,000 people in this core area are safe, we got to make certain that the rest of our city is safe. So we will put all assets. We will have hundreds of city employees beginning yesterday, today, and tomorrow, who are going to be working minimally 12, but to 16, possibly 20-hour days, just to make certain. But we take this as a badge of honor. It's our responsibility, and we look forward to it. And we have great partners in the university who does a fantastic job of the logistics as well. So I think everyone, let me just say this. We pray that nothing happens. And here's the cool thing. If you leave Tuscaloosa and all you're talking about is the football game, we have done our job, and that is our goal.
Can you stick around for one more segment?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Oh, awesome. Because on the way down here, you know, Matt and I both live in Birmingham. Matt did some recon on you, Walt, and he talked to one of your former football coaches.
Yeah,
oh my God.
We're going to go back a few years from Central to UAB. and what we're really going to do.
What's that? You need me to? Yeah, I'm coming.
Jamie? Cold beer. We're going to go into that, but also you played. You know the game, and yeah. I want to get – let's get into the X's and O's.
Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
Texas. Mayor Walt Maddox is our guest as we broadcast live from Innisfree. Please come by. Get that cold beer. Get that meat and three. Laura Lee and I both had burgers last week.
We did. Pretty good. They were.
Pretty good. Your chicken sandwich?
Chicken. Loved it.
All right.
Loved it.
We'll be back. More from Innisfree right here in Tuscaloosa on University. This is Big Noon Sports.
Football. Laura Lee Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as Roll Tide as Houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at Laura Lee at thebamabroker.com. That's Laura Lee at thebamabroker.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
It's a dry forecast through early next week. The sky's sunny this afternoon. The high today, 87. Clear and very pleasant tonight. The low, 62. For tomorrow and Sunday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 86 and 89 degrees. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best sports talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
We are back at Innisfree with a meat and three. They call it the Lucky Lunch, $9.99. You get a meat. Normally, it gets you meat and two. Not at Innisfree. It's a meat and three, and it is delicious. It's, the beer is cold, and this is going to be the place to be all throughout the weekend. And we're going to be here live until 2 o'clock, but they'll be here all weekend. So drop by and see the show. Mayor Walt Maddox has been nice enough to drop by the city of Tuscaloosa. Let's talk some football. I made a phone call on the way over here, as Lars was talking about before we went to the break. And if you want to know anything, you call Tuffy Crow.
Oh, my gosh. How's Tuffy doing?
He's fantastic. He finally retired. met a really, really nice lady, and, you know, he still does his ranching with the horses and the pigs and the chickens over in Jacksonville. But he's one of my all-time favorite people. But the reason I bring this up is because Tuffy was a coach at UAB. Because you went over there when Hillier was there, correct?
Yes, sir.
Did you finish with Watson Brown?
No, I GA'd a year under Watson Brown.
Okay.
But I played 4 years under Coach, and then I was, you know, Coach Brown was nice enough to let me be a student coach for a year and a half. So I always thought I'd be a college football coach. Never dreamed I'd be doing this, but that's another story for another
Tuffy
time.
Tuffy says he always knew you were going to be a politician. Maybe that was after watching you coach.
Well, you know, Coach Brown, I asked him one time why he hired me to be a student coach. He said, Walt, I watched some of your game film, and I saw you made a lot of All-Americans. So,
Well, then I stopped.
I mean, you know.
Tuffy said you were a good inside linebacker, and you were a starter as well.
No, so. I was okay, and I didn't start much, but he's very kind. Wow. And I tell you what, though, I did enjoy it. You know, everyone aspires. My dad always told me I'd play football at Legion Field. I just never knew it'd be for UAB. But, you know, to play small college football was an honor and a privilege, and I loved it, and it taught me a lot of life lessons, and it certainly gives me an appreciation for what Coach and what this University of Alabama football team is doing, which is we're living in such historic times, we don't even realize how fortunate we are. And Coach Crow, by the way, fantastic man. I love that man, and he's a fantastic coach.
Can he tell a story or what?
He can. And he was one of those coaches that you had some coaches that kind of drove you in the dirt, and he would always be there to pick you up.
You got to have the Hawks, you got to have the Doves.
That's right.
That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Okay, since you played the game, break the Texas Longhorns down a little bit. What does Alabama need to do?
I think what Alabama's got to do, it sounds so basic and simple, right? You've got to be able to run the football to let it set up to play action pass. I think that's going to be the key in the game. Milroe brings an extra dynamic with his feet. The only thing that if I did, you know, again, I know Coach Saban has a list of 2,000 concerns. My concern last year's Texas quarterback before he got hurt was pretty mobile and pretty effective in that first quarter. Certainly, I would make sure that's cleaned up. I sense, we'll find out Saturday night. I sense Alabama is not only ready for this game, it is the best team in this game. And I think they are going to flex some muscle, and I think they're going to show the world that they are going to be a serious challenger to Georgia later on in the season for the SEC crown and possibly a national championship.
Well, getting back to your playing career, I've written a lot about how difficult it is to just sort of let go of being an athlete, let go of being a scholarship football player, letting go of the camaraderie of the locker room, of just hearing the roar of the crowd. What was the hardest thing for you personally to let go of when you realized that the end was there?
I think team. You miss being part of a team. I'll never forget Coach Hilliard. We were beating Morehead State. It was our second to last game. It was pouring down rain. We were playing in Morehead, Kentucky, and we were up 30-something something to nothing or felt that way at halftime. And he told everybody but the seniors to get out of the locker room. And so a senior stayed in. I think there were 16 of us. And he said, men, all except one of you is going to play professional football, and you've got a game and a half left. You got six quarters of football left, and you'll never play it again in your life. And that's when it hit me how much I was going to miss football. And I miss it to this day. I don't miss practices or the weightlifting, everything else you had to do. But I miss that team. I miss that locker room. And I can't imagine what it's like for someone at a pro level that continues that upwards. But you miss the team, the competition. That for me has guided me in my life. That's why I love working for the city, because I feel like I'm on a team.
Well, I was going to add to that, since you're the mayor and you're running the team, what lessons did you learn when you were at UAB that have helped you run this city?
Adversity. It's adversity. The thing about football, the hardest part about football to me was never the games, it was the practices. And in those practices where you've got coaches riding you, you've got people yelling at you, you've got to perform, you're trying to get negative thoughts out of your mind, create positive energy in your mind, and you feel that pressure. Performing under that adversity to me is the biggest thing that's helped me as mayor, putting outside noise away. Actually working as a GA was also a great benefit, because the defense coordinator that I worked for, a guy named Robert Henry, he would just yell at you over, you'd be in your earphones, you're charting plays, he's yelling, and what you'd have to learn is really want. Ignore the noise. What does he really want? Those lessons really helped me be successful, that you can't let negative energy, negative thoughts get in the way of what your job is every day. Football taught me that.
Well, we're more than 12 years away from April 27th, 2011, when the horrific tornado ripped through Tuscaloosa. Is Tuscaloosa completely rebuilt?
If you said, okay, put it on a scale of 100%, I'd say we're about 90% there. But I've always been very reluctant to fully answer that, because if I lost my home, and even if I rebuilt it, am I truly felt like I'm whole again? We lost so much on that day. I don't know if it'll ever be in our rearview mirror. Physically, yes, from a brick-and-mortar standpoint, we're 90% there. What has not been rebuilt is just because the property owner is waiting to get the best value out of their property. And I am proud. If you look at the 12.5% of our city that was destroyed, the 5,000 buildings that were gone from that day, you look at the tornado zone, and it's a totally we rebuilt in a way, I think, that honored all those that lost so much.
Yeah, it is amazing just to drive through here and to see how the city has absolutely just blossomed again, and it's terrific. What is your plan for tomorrow? Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be watching it? And I'm sure you're going to be in communication with city officials.
Oh yeah, tomorrow is not a hard day for me, because our team is going to be out there executing. We have several people who are coming into the city, giving us a chance to show the city off. So I will be performing those duties, hopefully creating a lot of new jobs in the future for the city of Tuscaloosa. This game has brought in a lot of people who want to now come look at your city. Certainly, I know they just may be here for the Texas-Alabama game, but we want to take full advantage while they're here, just to show them what a great community this is. And so tomorrow I get to be the guy that gets to sell our city all day, and I'm looking forward to that. I will be in the stadium for the game, and certainly, like most of the 100,000 people, I'm going to be cheering Roll Tide, baby. Let's pull this one off.
Our guest is Mayor Walt Maddox of the city of Tuscaloosa. We broadcast live from Innisfree. We'll be here until 2. Drop by, join us, have lunch and cold beer. Is there any way to measure the impact Nick Saban has had, not just the University of Alabama, the economic or just the overall impact of being in Tuscaloosa, Alabama for 16 years?
You know, it's impossible, but I do call it Sabanomics, because there's no doubt that Coach Saban, his success has really transformed our city. Bob Witt and Nick Saban and Richard Shelby are the three people that have led to the transformation of our city. And without Coach Saban and without Bob Witt and Richard Shelby, I don't know if we have everything that we have today. But there's no doubt the three of them have been really our Mount Rushmore of the last 20 years. Coach Saban, my biggest fear is what happens when Coach and Miss Terry decide to go home to the lake or go, you know, elsewhere. So hopefully that'll be 10 or 15 years from now. But there's no doubt that Coach and Miss Terry have changed our community for the better. And beyond just the economic impact, Matt, what Coach and Miss Terry give to so many charities, so many communities. They're just amazing people, and Tuscaloosa has been so blessed that they call this place their home.
Well, you have been mayor since 2005. Mm-hmm. What are the biggest changes that you see in Tuscaloosa since 2005 to 2023?
I think today. Look at today. You look out over University Boulevard, it's packed. You look at a place like Innisfree that is always hopping, and certainly tonight will be. Our population was 77,000. Today, our population is 111,000. We're just a place that is growing at the seams. And to me, that is the biggest difference. I've also think that our attitude is so different and our expectations of success. We expect to be successful at the city. Now, some of that may be Coach. I mean, Coach brings in that expectation of success. I think we as a community have that expectation of success. Even in the darkest hours after April 27, 2011, no matter how tragic it was in front of us, we never doubted we would persevere and succeed and triumph in that situation. That attitude here in Tuscaloosa, you can just feel it. And it's an honor to share it with your listeners today because, we celebrate Texas, but it gives us a chance being here. We celebrate this game being here in Tuscaloosa.
Walt, somebody's going to ask, so I will. What are your political aspirations?
Future president of the United States.
No.
Future president of the United States.
I wish. Let's go in the Iowa. There's nothing like being December in Des Moines, right?
I think every Republican candidate is going to be at the Iowa State game.
It's unreal.
You know what? And this is, I'm not going to give you any political speak. If I plan on running for mayor again, and that's the only job I'm interested in, I'm having the best time of my life. I was telling Lars off air, I'm having the best time of my life. My son 10 years old. I get to coach his flag football team. If I decided to go do something else, I don't get to be Eli's coach the next 2 years. And so I want to be that boy's flag football coach. My daughter's 21, will graduate from UA in May. She has a lot in front of her. I'm loving my life right now, and I love serving the people of Tuscaloosa, and I can do both. If you're happy, why go screw it up?
I got to say, Walt, just on a personal level, working with you when you were running for governor really was one of the highlights of my professional career. And, we came up a little bit short, but I think the future is really, really good.
Well, if we keep doing a good job, the future takes care of itself.
Well, yeah, Tuscaloosa has benefited from your service without question.
Well, thank you. And thank you all for being here in T-Town. And y'all have a great day. Remember, I can only pardon misdemeanors, so don't go beyond that, okay?
I'm so far even thinking about even a misdemeanor now.
You can pardon misdemeanors.
30 years ago, but anyway, let's get you a sandwich and a cold beverage.
That sounds like a plan.
All right, sounds good. We are broadcasting live from Innisfree. It is Texas weekend. We are going to break down the game as we continue on, dip into the NFL a little bit last night. Lars and I talked about this last night on the phone. Deion Sanders, be quiet. All right. We'll be back live from Innisfree on Big Noon Sports.
Reagan, owner of R&R Cigars, the Cigar Mansion in downtown Tuscaloosa, located at 2703 6th Street across from the Home 2 Suites. Come down to R&R and see why we're the ultimate cigar and bourbon experience. With over 165 bourbons and 5 private barrels, our selection of bourbon is unmatched. We have the best cocktails around and our cigar selection is legendary. Our lounge and service are world class. Come and experience the luxury of the mansion and see why it's a world-renowned cigar and spirits destination.
From T-Town to the plane. This is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
It is indeed Big Noon Sports. Every Friday throughout the football season, we'll be live exactly where we are in this very position. I'll be in the same chair. Maybe not to that extent, but we are live at Ennis Free and University. Come by. Their sandwiches are fantastic, whether you get the chicken, hamburger, high quality of beef. That's the first thing I noticed when I ate mine last week. But also, just look over the bar, the number of beers that they have here. And Lars, it was everything Lars could do to actually come into Ennis Free because there was a beer truck out front with the engine running. And were you thinking about putting it in gear?
Absolutely. I mean, there's literally a truckload of beer in here. I remember when I was a kid, my brother, 3 years older than me, Eric, he had a dream when he was about 18 years old, and it was that a Budweiser truck crashed in front of the high school, and there's just free beer there for everybody. And so the beer isn't quite free here, but it's close, and there's plenty of it.
Indeed. Yeah, they're still unloading that thing. All right, we are live at Ennis Free. Come by, grab a meet and three as we continue. Laura Lee, the Bama Broker Advantage Realty Group, is with us as well. Laura Lee, just you're the incoming president of the Red Elephant Club, and your knowledge of football has been well documented on this show. But what's your feeling? It's nothing like Middle Tennessee State University coming into town.
Well, no. That game was actually a really good game as far as the number of people in the stadium and the atmosphere. There was a lot of excitement, and it was fun. This week is a little bit different. You look around, even in here in Innisfree, and we have some Texas people in the house. And I think it's going to be a wild day tomorrow. Lots of people coming in. I've heard a lot of Texas people are coming in and they don't have tickets, so good luck.
Well, hopefully we're going to talk to some Texas fans here, and we'll get their take on the game. And
you might want to go over there and read the menu for them.
They're going to have a really good look at the flyover tomorrow. I do know that because they'll be about halfway to the basement of heaven. But anyway, Matt, you and I were talking about Deion Sanders and some comments that he made about former Alabama running back Trey Sanders, who now plays for TCU. And as we know, that he went down with an injury during the Colorado TCU game last week, which Colorado won 45-42, and has just generated all this hype around Deion Sanders. And the hype is so great that in Las Vegas, there's more money on the Colorado-Nebraska game than there is in any NFL game this weekend. And it is almost unprecedented how much money, and 90% of that money is going on Colorado 2.5-point favorite. But Deion Sanders, he was talking about Trey Sanders when he went down, and Deion goes out onto the field, and I believe it was unprompted that he told reporters, I walked over to him because he was a kid that wanted to come here. The reason I didn't take him was because he sustained some significant injuries. So he's using Trey Sanders' injury to talk about him. This is all about Deion Sanders. And, boy, this has rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, including myself.
Including Matt Coulter and you. Yeah. And I'm sure Laura Lee's not exactly about to raise her Buffalo flag.
Yeah, not hardly.
So is it just me? Like, is the country behind Nebraska this weekend?
I think so. Tomorrow? How many people have come by? Well, pick them. I mean, what more do you want? The mayor is a Husker fan this weekend. So, but you know what? We're going to talk about this for a minute, but I'm going to go back to when I first saw him, when he was at Florida State. You know what his favorite letter was? I mean, he's always been like this, and I've never liked that. He has been successful, certainly. Golly, is he the best corner to ever play?
Certainly, not the best tackler to ever play.
No, but he literally took a third of the field away. But, and I respect that, and kind of like what he did for the Atlanta Braves, but he has always been about me, and I'll give you the perfect example, because when he went to Florida State, played for Bobby Bowden. He was also, you could do this at the time, you could play baseball. And he was drafted, and he was playing minor league baseball. And he got a big contract. So Deion was making like NIL money because he could. I mean, it was separated. And when you show up practice in a huge stretch limo, and what are those, the top hat and a tuxedo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what are you telling your teammates? And him addressing Trey Sanders like that, what is he telling the world? It's still all about Deion.
Yeah, and, you know, again, I did not care for those comments. And, you know, he even said, hey, you know, I want the kid to be dominant. His last name is Sanders, after all, in reference to Trey Sanders. And he said, hey, he's also wearing number 2. You know, that's my number. I mean, this is the whole thing was about Deion Sanders, and we'll see. We'll see if there's a little bit of a comeuppance here on Saturday at 11 a.m. Central.
Marley, do you have a feeling? There's another Texas fan. Wow. you know what? Got to give them credit. They're smart. They know where to come. To Ennis Free. Your thoughts, and is Nebraska going to beat Colorado?
Well, let's hope it doesn't come down to the fourth quarter. If it does, then
it's Nebraska's dust.
Laura Lee, come on. Do we have to do this again?
Oh, it's so true, though.
Well, you should be saying that to Nebraska, not me. They have crumbled.
Yeah.
Time
we
after
choke.
Time.
We choke big time.
Yes.
Got to own it.
Can we run the stat by again?
Go ahead.
You want to?
Go ahead.
And they flashed this graphic up during the game a couple of Thursday nights ago that Nebraska, over the past 5 years of all Power 5 teams, has lost more one-score games than anybody in the nation. And they have also blown more second-half leads than anybody in the nation, and that's over 5 years. So, Laura Lee, your information and your comments are not only funny, but they're warranted. And I hate rubbing it in on you, Lars, but that's not going to happen this weekend. I really hope that Nebraska found that certainly some of their weaknesses were exposed, particularly on offense. You can't have a quarterback running the football 3 times out of 4 and win football games. First, he's probably going to get knocked out, but I would just think that they've adjusted. And I think Matt Rule's a good coach.
Yeah.
I really do. But they've got to find a way to be able to run the football other than their quarterback. Defensively, I didn't have a problem with it.
No, they played really good on defense, and it came down to losing the turnover battle 4-1, and Nebraska had, you know, there's 9 key plays in that game. If one of those 9 goes Nebraska's way, they win that game. So, anyway, moving forward, I think on Saturday it's going to be smash mouth, old school Nebraska style football. They're going to run option left, option right, fullback trap consistently over and over and over. Get the safeties to suck in and then try to throw over the top. But and then on defense, we'll see if Deion Sanders' son, who broke something like 9 school records against TCU, and he had a phenomenal game, and he's now suddenly on the radar of NFL scouts as not just a potential, draft pick, but a first round draft pick, and possibly even a high first round draft pick. We'll see. I mean, there's just been so much talk about Colorado after their victory on Saturday. And I get it. They go on the road, a team that only won 1 game last year. Go on the road and you face the squad that played in the national championship game and you beat them. And you're, more than a 3-touchdown underdog. And very impressive. But, you know, the line for this game just about a month ago was Nebraska favored by 9, and now it's Colorado by 2.5, so it's moved
10 points.
Yeah, based on 1 game.
All right, Lars, in order to ensure a Cornhuskers victory, we must ask, and the Husker Nation asks, that you not place a wager on this game.
Oh, no. Place a wager on Colorado.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I am the world's worst gambler. But do you ever throw around a nickel or two, Laura Lee?
Why you still do it amazes me.
I did in college.
Yeah.
I don't now. I don't at all now.
Were you up at the house making book?
No, it was at a fraternity house.
So. The fraternity houses. Oh, so I don't want to go there.
I know.
There was some cash floating around there.
There is, and they probably still do it, but
that's
it was
how
a big thing.
That's how much I didn't know about gambling. I placed, this may be one of the few times I ever bet on a college game. Guy came back to me and said, well, you know, you lost. I gave him the money, and he said, well, man, Matt, where's the VIG? What's a vigorish? Yeah, I didn't know that there was 10% in there for the holder of the book. So anyway, I've never been much of a guy to place a wager on much of anything.
I'll say this, Matt.
Play blackjack.
Matt, hopefully soon we are going to have a special guest appearing that our Texas friends will love to see. Bring back some great memories of 2009.
Yeah, he'll sit at their
table. Right here.
No,
and,
he needs to go sit with those Texas fans.
The axis of the world is going to tilt to his side.
He's a big the room will tilt. Yeah, we'll see if that doesn't work. Laura Lee, you doing okay over there?
Doing great.
Would you like a cold beer?
No, thank you. It's too early
and I didn't learn this lesson on air, but you just don't imbibe when you've got a microphone.
Right? That's right. It's
good. You know, I think that's true for all lives. We'll be back at Innisfree as you listen to Big Noon Sports.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, we'll feature Lee Sterling, we'll feature Brent Beard, maybe one surprise guest. SEC Parlay Pick Contest presented by Brian Harden Construction, all starting at 2 o'clock here on The Game on Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
It's a dry forecast through early next week. The sky's sunny this afternoon, the high today 87. Clear and very pleasant tonight, the low 62. For tomorrow and Sunday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 86 and 89 degrees. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the plains. This is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
And Big Noon Sports is being brought to you and broadcast live from Innisfree. Drop by, have cold beer, have lunch. You know, word travels fast. All the way to Austin as several... do you like their orange? Several orange-clad Tennessee fans have walked into Innisfree, so at least they've gotten good advice on where to eat.
Yeah,
now, absolutely. The fact that we were making them eat on the roof, just kidding.
Which orange do you prefer, Tennessee orange or Texas orange?
Well, actually, if to tell you the truth, both of them might make me want to hurl.
Oh, come on.
Well, more Tennessee. You know, did you see what Tennessee uniforms are going to look like? The black and the orange?
Yeah.
They're just butt ugly. All right. Speaking of Tennessee fans, I'm going to bring Robbie Glenn in just a second. But Laura Lee, the Bama broker, Advantage Realty Group, you know what she did during the break? She started to work the Tennessee.
She's working the crowd.
I've got some property out by the way. What were you doing over there, Laura Lee? Just talking?
Well, but I had to also let them know who was about to walk into the house and did they remember him. You know, and I asked them where they were from, but, you know, I love fans from other games.
Yeah.
We go to a lot of the away games and all the championships and everything we've been to, and fans are fun. That's why most fans are fun. So,
I have a cousin who went to Texas, and he swears to me and has sworn to me since 2009 that Texas wins that game if Marcell Dareus doesn't knock out Colt McCoy. And I've talked to many Texans. Yep. Yeah. Right.
And they say the same thing about Dallas Turner, don't they? From last year, I mean, he's the one that knocked out Ewers.
Yeah. Colt McCoy has resonated with Texas fans for a long time. However, your quarterback came in and played pretty good, right? He played really well. He played well in that
he's
game.
He's a good player.
But we'll hopefully get into that in more depth here in a few minutes. But Robbie Glenn, former Alabama baseball player, good friend from the program. How you doing today, bud?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here. I love Innisfree, love T-Town, and love big games like this. And that's about the only orange
up?
I can
see. You look like you're jacked up.
I haven't had a lot of sleep, so yes, I am a little jacked up.
On Stryker, about Stryker this
Yeah,
morning,
he had another bad night, but that's okay. Yeah, I got a little adrenaline rush because I got here and I saw game day on the TV, and I love it. Big
it's
game.
Pretty cool. Game day and SEC Nation both here, and just massive influx of fans. Robbie, what is your analysis? What are the keys to victory for Alabama and Texas? What is Texas? We'll start with Texas. What do you think Texas has to do to win this game on tomorrow evening and pull off the upset?
Sark knows Alabama well, so he's going to have to draw up some plays to keep our defense not playing us our kind of ball. But I think once Bama takes charge and they play who they stay to who they are, we're going to step up and dominate. And it's a night game. The crowd is going to be into it. Okay, it's going to be electric. The team's going to feed off it. We showed last week how fast we are. And, I was watching the game with Marcell, and he got fired up when he saw the big boys on defensive line, the way they were moving and hitting people and pushing that offensive line. Yeah, agree, they weren't as the opponent that they're going to face tomorrow, but they're still the athleticism, the depth they got there, they're going to show up.
How vanilla do you think Coach Saban kept both the offense and defense in game one?
I think he just did what he had to do to get players in the right position. Whether it was vanilla or not, I don't know. They made it look pretty easy. And I love the quarterback. I liked him from day one. What has always gave Bama trouble is a running quarterback. Well, why? We have an elite running quarterback that can also pass. He just needs the right offense for him. He was coming in playing behind Bryce, wasn't getting the looks, but the offense was catered to Bryce and what he could do. And now this is catered to him, and I think he's gonna roll all year.
Matt and I were joking yesterday that we spent 6 months discussing who the starting quarterback was going to be,
and that was the next
answered in just a very short amount of time.
Laura Lee, I think one of the things that Alabama really needs to do tomorrow night is just let's get brutal up front. Let's run the football. Let's just chase the Longhorns out of town.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready for them to do just that. I think when we talked about the quarterback earlier in the season, I said Jalen Milroe, and he's a stud, and I think he showed that Saturday. I think it surprised everybody, but it most definitely solidified his position. So let's see how he does tomorrow. I expect it'll be more of the same. You can't predict someone who is athletic as he is. He can take off at any minute.
Matt, what's your analysis of how things will go tomorrow? And again, I want to ask you the same thing I asked Robbie.
Yeah.
Look, from the Texas side, what does Texas need to do to win this game?
They need to protect Ewers. I mean, Ewers, to me, as I think I said yesterday, he's the pendulum here. Mm-hmm. And if he swings and he's accurate, and
he is good.
We know he's
a
very good quarterback. So I think that works in Texas' favor if they can protect him. But it's like we were talking about a minute ago. And Marcell was talking about how Alabama's defensive front is now getting that push, which, to be honest with you, I haven't seen in two or three years. Have you?
Probably today.
Not since Quinn and Williams was here.
Alabama has a history of guys up front. Josh Chapman was the first guy that they got there. And then you had Terrence Cody and Quinn and Williams, and I'm sure I'm leaving out a few. But no, none of those three have really stepped up in the last couple of years. Collectively, they did, and that's, again, against Middle Tennessee State University. I saw it again and also saw the fire on the offensive line. Robbie, did you see at the very beginning of the game, it was Latham and Booker, I think. They took a linebacker, like 10.
Yeah.
It looked like the scene out of Blindside. Yeah. You remember when he takes him and
takes
dumps
him all the way
him?
Back.
Yeah. I see that physicality up front, Robbie, that I don't think I've really seen in the last couple of years.
No, that was really nice seeing. I'm blown away how big they are and how they can move. And that's what I want to see tomorrow. I want to see these guys in the trenches because Texas is known for their defensive line. I want to see our offensive line push these guys around and make them quit in the fourth quarter like we used to. And that was what Bama steps off the bus. Everybody was intimidated. Let's get that back. And I think we're going to see that with this group.
I think the key for Texas is they got to throw the ball all around the field. I don't think they're going to have much success running, but Quinn Ewers had great success early against Alabama. I think he's 9-12 for over 100 yards. And if he doesn't go down in that game, I still think Texas wins that game. But the strength of the Alabama defense is, I think, on the back end in the secondary. And so, I think they need to do quick passes, get the ball out of Ewers' hand really fast. And I know Steve Sarkisian, again, just from our experience with him, he's going to devise a great game plan. He knows exactly what he's stepping into. He knows the environment. I think Texas is going to be very well prepared for this game.
A lot has been brought up, and rightfully so, when you've got two of your starters in the secondary banged up. And granted, now, Alabama's secondary is pretty deep. But it was Malachi Moore and Key that were banged up in Jalen Key. My word, and several people we've had on the show, they're practicing, Laurie. I don't mean to be overly confident. I don't see that as a problem, and we need them.
Right. We do need them, and that's why I'm saying if Texas throws the ball, I mean, we have ball hawks, so yay. Throw the ball. We want you to. Try it.
Alabama only had 7 interceptions last year. When they said that on the telecast, I went, no, I'm sorry, that's wrong. This is a team that used to pick off 15 a year.
Mm-hmm. I think they'll do it again this year. I think we have the guys. I think they're ready. We've already done it once. So
Alabama, in a sense, did it last night in Kansas City. Brian Branch, pick six. That was the play of the game.
Mahomes.
And, it was a game-changing play. And I really thought that Brian Branch was going to be a great NFL player. And what a way to begin your career with a pick six off of Mahomes that ends up being, Robbie, the play of the game. I don't know if you had a chance to see it.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. And then I got to see Gibbs also with some great runs.
They should have given him the ball more. I don't understand why.
It was part of it. They're drawing it up. But, no, anytime you leave Alabama defense and get to the NFL, that's all you hear about is it's different. It's pro ball, but it's still the same because they did it every time here at Bama. You know, the defensive playbook was a lot bigger than what they saw in the NFL. So,
Robbie, did you reach into your bag of tricks here? We got somebody coming by.
Yeah, he's actually at Nick's Kids right now, and he just texted me, said he's getting ready to walk out there and be head this way.
All right, that would be
Marcel Darius.
That's what I thought. Okay, we got you. All right, it is halftime here at Innis Free. Come by and grab a cold beer with us. You're listening to Big Noon Sports.
Mornings at 6 a.m. The Martin Houston Show.
Join us on Monday as we break down the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we'll have Kennedy Smith, the third of the Athletic. And hopefully we'll be breaking down Alabama's big win over the Texas Longhorns.
Catch the Martin Houston Show from 6 to 7 weekday mornings on Tide 100.9.
Hey, this is Reagan, owner of R&R Cigars, the Cigar Mansion in downtown Tuscaloosa. Located at 2703 6th Street across from the Home 2 Suites. Come down to R&R and see why we're the ultimate cigar and bourbon experience. With over 165 bourbons and 5 private barrels, our selection of bourbon is unmatched. We have the best cocktails around and our cigar selection is legendary. Our lounge and service are world class. Come and experience the luxury of the mansion and see why it's a world-renowned cigar and spirits destination.
Uptown Square Media Station.
WTUG HD2 Northport.
W265 CG Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
More Big Noon Sports coming up.
We are coming to you live from the place to be is Innisfree. So drop by and see us. They have a special that runs every day. Really, it's not just on Fridays when we're here, which we will be through the remainder of the season, but they have a meet and three for $9.99. Hey, Texas. How you, Texas? Let me hear you. All right.
If any guys want to come up, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, we need a Texas fan.
We do.
Front and center. Come up here. Put the headsets on.
All right, here we go.
You know, there are, 8 to 10. I've seen some walking on the street.
Yeah, there's quite a few outside. Yep.
It's fantastic. All right.
Hey, thanks for coming up here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, man. Of course.
All right, what's name and where are you from?
My name is Aiden Frazier, and I am from Dallas, Texas, but I go to UT.
Go to UT? I love Austin. It is really like one of my favorite cities in the country. What's the feel on campus at Austin about this game facing Alabama? You like your chances?
I think we're all very excited. A little bit of a bad taste in our mouth after last year. You know, I think we had a rough time. That was one of the most exciting games that I'd been to last year in Austin. So I'm hoping to get a similar experience out of it today. Saturday. And I think it'll be great, man. I've got a great team. Very confident. I mean, we'll see how it goes.
By the way, his name is Lars. My name is Matt. This is Laura Lee. Did you say your first name is Ian?
Aiden.
Aiden.
Yes, sir.
Ah, still just the same. You should be at Innisfree. I'll figure out a way that relates. Okay, you came up here, so I'm going to ask you a tough question, too. What do you think about Alabama putting the ban on the Texas fans in the upper deck as Texas did it to Alabama last year? Did you bring your sunscreen?
Gotta say, that rubbed a lot of Alabama people the wrong way.
Yep. So I'm actually staying with a friend from home that goes here. And she was pretty upset about not only the fans being stuck up there, but the band being stuck up there last year, too. I gotta say, I completely understand it. It's not gonna be ideal. At least it's a night game, so yeah. Someone won't be out too bad. But, I mean, it is what it is.
I teach at Alabama on faculty, and there are so many students from Texas that go to Alabama. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of that? What is it? When I ask my students, okay, from out of state, why'd you come to Alabama? Like 9 out of 10 mentioned the football program. Mm-hmm. Is it the same way at Texas that people want to go to Texas because of just the history and tradition of Texas football?
Yeah, that's definitely a big part of it. I'd say another like big reason a lot of people come down to Texas is, I mean, just the city of Austin is a great place to.
It is.
Great place to go to school, man. I mean, there's so many things to do.
Was it 8th Street?
6th Street.
Yeah. Oh man, it is like great, great music on 6th Street in Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, music's great. The comedy scene is growing a lot, which is really cool to experience. Joe Rogan just opened up his new place right on 6th Street. So kind of perfect timing going to our senior year. We're going to experience some of that. So.
So are y'all going to be tailgating or are you just going to be walking around?
I plan to be tailgating. You know, I mean, number one, we've got a bunch of guys from Texas coming in, a bunch of guys that we're good buddies with, so I'm sure we'll plan out something. But again, yeah, like most of us are staying with friends that do go to Alabama, so we're like kind of just letting them take the wheel and show me where to go, I'll go, you know? So. That's the plan. I hear the over by College Game Day, that area. I plan on being there at some point tomorrow, too. So.
And I think SEC Nation is going to be here, so you'll have two shows. And then maybe you'll end up at the Cup of Sig House. I see you have a shirt on.
Yeah, potentially.
And the governor from Texas is here. I know there's a big pep rally tonight down on the river. The River Market. Thank you, Laura Lee. So it's great. Love the fact that there are so many Texas fans. So we've made this argument when talking about this game that it is the biggest non-conference home game in the Nick Saban era. Because typically home opponents, non-conference, tend to be cupcakes that you feast on. Mm-hmm. And so this is completely different. And so it's special from that standpoint. For people in Austin and Texas fans, just how do they view the Alabama program, Nick Saban? Would this be, just sort of a huge step forward for the entire program under Sarkisian?
Right, yeah, definitely. I'd say across the board, we have a lot of respect for the Alabama program. We're all very excited to be joining the SEC just because of the fact that we have the opportunity to have great opponents like Alabama, LSU, like all the big SEC schools just on a regular season like year is awesome. And I'm very excited that we're able to come out the year before and just kind of see how we'll do. I feel like this is a good, going to give us a good glimpse of how we're going to perform away next year. So,
and were you surprised that Texas made the jump to the SEC?
I wouldn't really say I'm surprised at it. I think that Texas and OU both are just getting a little old of the Big 12, and some things needed to change. And it's great also that I think we had A&M on our eyes a little bit, so it's great that we'll get to reamp that rivalry again too. So,
what are you majoring in?
I'm an accounting major, so I'm doing the 5-year program to get my master's.
You don't talk like an accounting major.
No, you don't.
You're
a natural at this. You're doing a great job. Really.
Appreciate it.
What do you want to do?
I don't know, man. Yeah, I've got an internship coming up next spring at PwC doing a capital markets and accounting advisory internship. So we'll see how I like that. It seems like some pretty interesting stuff, but we'll see how that plays out and get a better feel for what I want to do post-college.
Is Austin home, or did you go to school at Austin?
I go to school in Austin. I'm from the North Dallas area originally, Plano, Lewisville, which is about 30 minutes north of, downtown. So post-college, I probably plan on coming back home for a little bit. Austin's a great place, but a little homesick. I love Dallas, so.
What'd you order? Or have you?
We haven't ordered yet, but we've got some fried pickles on the way as an appetizer.
The last time I was in Austin, I'm a magazine writer and a book writer as well, and I was doing a long form piece on sneaking into sporting events, and one of the people I focused on was a student from at Texas, and he snuck into it was game 7 of the NBA finals by dressing up as a reporter. He made his own Bleacher Report. He made his own Bleacher Report credential, and got in there.
And if you act like you know what you're doing,
and he did it. I hope he didn't get in trouble for that after the story came out and was read by over
now,
a million people. But have either of you spent time in Austin?
Not much, no.
Not a lot. I've been to Dallas a lot, of course, going to the football games.
Dallas and Houston have been a lot, but not really Austin. But I certainly have watched it from afar. And it used to be just a little capital city. But now, did I hear them say it's the 10th largest city in America? Or is that... Does that sound possible? How many people live there?
That sounds like it. I don't think that's possible. It might be the 10th fastest growing city in America. It is. I mean, we've got so many people moving in from all types of areas. A lot of California guys moving in. A lot of New York. So growing rapidly, which is very. It's cool to see. It's a little rough with the airport. It's a small airport, so
yes,
as fast as it's growing, it sometimes gets hard to get. get out of the city, but I would highly recommend checking it out. It's amazing. There's just so much stuff to do, and it's a very good place to experience, for sure.
Well, I look forward to Texas coming into the SEC so we can have some lower bowl tickets.
That's right.
Better
There's
time.
A rule once you're in the SEC, you can't do that nonsense of putting everybody up
SEC
in the
you can't get lower bowl. Texas and Alabama are
Texas
doing
Texas started
each other.
This fight, by the way.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and big Cornhusker fan. And the reason that Nebraska left the Big 12 because of Texas and the nonsense like that. But anyway.
Hey, let me tell you,
as a longtime Arkansas fan going back to Southwest Conference, I'm not a big Texas guy, but I have a lot of respect for their tradition.
Oh, well, me too. I mean, do.
I was looking through their All-Americans. Lamb Jones, Roosevelt Leakes, Ricky Williams, not to mention one of my favorite all-time running backs who would rather run through that bar than run around it.
Earl Campbell. What a great player. Wow.
You know.
Who's your all-time favorite Texas player?
Quinn Ewers?
I'm younger, you know, but I'd have to go with Colt McCoy, man. That's one of the classics.
Well, we're going to have the guy who knocked him out of the national championship game sitting in your seat in about a few minutes here. What's your prediction for the game?
I know the spread's 7. I predict that we at least cover that, and hopefully we come out on top, but I feel pretty confident. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I hope you guys have a great time here in Tuscaloosa. I hope everybody treats you well, and I'm sure they will.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Of course.
You really did a great job.
Before we let you go, Aiden, how did you find out about Ennis Free? I mean, just your buddies or your people that are going to school here, did they tell you to come here? Because we're here every Friday.
Okay, yeah. It was my buddies that did, and we actually spent a little bit of time here last night, too.
Oh,
so got some drinks last night.
It sounds to me like you spent a lot of time
here. I had the drinks. They were good. I had to come back to try out the food, you know.
That is the
already has a loyal customer.
Exactly. Right.
I've lived that.
Yep.
Probably a lot longer than I should have. All right. Laura Lee, Lars Anderson, Matt Coulter back at Innisfree in a minute. You're listening to Big Noon Sports.
Known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as Roll Tide as Houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at laura.lee@thebamabroker.com. That's laura.lee@thebamabroker.com.
From our home base right here in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
As respected industry leaders,
we are here
working hard for you
in an effort to provide you with
excellence in sports medicine,
excellence in research and education,
and excellence in sports injury prevention.
We are here for you, aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
It's a dry forecast through early next week. The sky's sunny this afternoon, the high today 87. Clear and very pleasant tonight, the low 62. For tomorrow and Sunday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 86 and 89 degrees. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is the Big Noon Sports Network.
Every Friday,
during the Alabama football season. Lars and myself and assorted guests will be live from noon until 2, the length of our show, right here at Innisfree, which is on University. And there are a lot of folks in here already. We can find you a table, okay? Promise you, you can get your hamburger and your ice cold beer. And they have many selections, and they've got your favorite mixed drink as well. So please come down here and see us. Right now, we have Matt, Lars, Robbie Glenn is with us, Laura Lee Thompson is with us, and joining us, very glad to bring Steve Irvine back in and on our show. Steve, how you doing? And please tell us the good news that was released yesterday by Tim Stevens.
Yeah, I'm back in the, I'm good. I hope you guys are doing good today. I'm back in the working world, back making an honest living, and it's a site. It's called Magic City Impact, MagicCityImpact.com. It's an arm of the student athlete NIL, which is teamed with UAB. It's kind of a separate collective for NIL collective, and we're Tim and I will be providing some content for. Kind of a separate website to cover the program, and it's a place where people can come and get involved with the NIL, read about the UAB and what's going on, and get involved with the NIL with these student athletes at UAB. So it's something that's kind of a unique. It's a fairly unique concept of our website, and we're just going to see where it goes, and I'm very excited, and we've hit the ground running, and just ready to roll.
Steve, I know your focus now is on UAB, but let's shift what we're looking at to Alabama, Texas. What is your analysis of this game and keys to victory for Alabama?
Well, I'm excited about that game. I'm actually going to be there, which I'm really excited about. I'm going to be there as a fan, but I think the key to victory is I think that Alabama can out-athlete Texas. I really do. I think Texas has a lot of talent, but I think Alabama is so athletic that I think the key is to show that athleticism and get on the edge and just make plays and not necessarily try to slug it out, even though I think Alabama's certainly capable of doing that with anybody, but just use your athletes. And I think that starts with Jalen Milroe and the running game. And just kind of build from there.
Laura Lee?
So what do you think Texas needs to do? Do you think they have a chance?
Oh, they have a chance. Yeah, absolutely, they have a chance. I think they need to. Honestly, I think they need to turn it into, turn it into a fist fight. Get physical. And I know that Texas has plenty of playmakers too. Don't get me wrong, but I think their best chance is to ugly it up a little bit and get in the mud and slug it out. I mean, I think that's kind of their best chance. I think Alabama's capable of doing that too. So I'm not sure that. I don't think that Alabama's just going to lose if that happens. But I just think that's it. I think you got to turn in. I think Texas got to turn in a fist fight.
Steve, both of us are writers, and to me, the best story coming into this game from a feature standpoint is Steve Sarkisian and how Nick Saban absolutely saved and resuscitated his career after that well-known sort of public meltdown in Los Angeles when he was the head coach of USC and coming to Alabama as an analyst and getting paid $35,000 a year and just sort of working his way back up. And, I love the fact that Nick Saban gives people second chances. And to me, Steve Sarkisian is like a perfect example why you give somebody a second chance.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what was funny was when he came to Alabama, I had a good friend of mine out on the coast that is a writer, that called me when he, you know, when he found out he was coming there, and you know, he's like, what's he doing? Why is he bringing this guy there? I mean, what, you know, this guy's a bad guy, and you know, he's had all this stuff, and I remember telling him, like, you know, why doesn't he deserve a chance? I mean, you know, to straighten himself up and or to straighten his life out, and you know, and I love that too. I think that Big Save has done that so many times, and times where with some people like this, where some other people say, you know, why do it? Why waste your time? And to me, it's not a waste of time. And that same person, you know, when he was successful, I called him and I said, that's why he did it. And he's like, yeah, you're right. I mean, he goes, I was wrong. Because he's turned himself around. And, you know, and I think it's always, people have always known he's a heck of a football coach. And there's no doubt about that. There was never a doubt about that. But you know, he's had some personal problems. But heck, we all have our, it happens to everybody, you know, in a different way, you know, things happen to everybody. And so I think it's just a great story. And I think it's a great thing that Nick Saban does with a lot of these coaches.
Hey, let's talk a little UAB. First of all, just kind of assess the play of Zeno, a quarterback. How many records did he set last week?
Well, the main one was completions in a game, which is 38 for UAB. You know, 38 to 41, man. I mean, you know, that's not easy to do against air. It really isn't, with, you know, especially when you're talking about how fast that they go. I mean, they're playing tempo and everything just real quick, and you know, you got to give the receivers a lot of credit. There was no drop, you know, and it was all just get the ball out quick, you know. And then they hit one deep ball. Well, actually two, you know, a deep ball and an intermediate ball. Other than that, it's just get the ball to playmakers. So he's got 13 different guys, you know, had a catch. Five guys had four catches, and that was a team high. So it was a great plan for that particular game, just to get the ball out, let the playmakers make a play. And honestly, I think that's going to be kind of their base moving forward. Now, they'll change some things. There'll be some games where they go over the top a little more and maybe run the ball a little more, because, you know, they ran the ball well, but they just didn't, you know, they didn't really commit to it as much as they are in some games. But I just thought Zeno was, you know, the biggest thing that Zeno did compared to last year, you know, also is he made decisions quickly. And in that kind of offense, you've got to make decisions quickly, and he did. And last year, he struggled with that. There was a lot of times last year that he just, you know, just, I don't know, he just didn't get rid of the ball. And so that was huge to see him make those decisions quickly. And really, he made one bad decision and one bad throw, and it should have been a pick six, and the guy dropped it. Other than that, he made, you know, every one of his decisions was the right thing, and he made the play.
Steve Irvine is our guest. And again, the name of the media outlet that you're going to now be with, you blew it by me like a Nolan Ryan fastball. What is it called again?
That's kind of what I do. MagicCityImpact.com. Yeah. And it's a collective arm for UAB Athletics.
All right, one more question before we let you go, Steve. And that's just the demeanor of Trent Dilfer, from him coming in and not having won a game to where he is right now. Has it changed much at all?
Does his demeanor change much at all?
Yeah, no, I mean, after, you know, he's won his first college football games. Is he any different than he was before he was winless?
No, he's always going to be the same guy. The thing about Trent Dilfer, he's going to wear his emotions on his sleeves. I mean, I can tell you what, this week's practice when I was there was hard. Now, I mean, he got after him hard, and it was not there was not a bit of they didn't seem satisfied at all. In fact, he was a little more on edge, I think, than he was before his first game. I mean, I think part of it, he doesn't want his guys to get satisfied, and so he's going to be the same guy. He's not going to change. I mean, he don't want to change, but he is going to wear whatever emotion he's got going on. You're going to know it, because he's going to wear it on his sleeve.
What are those? they just bought a round of drinks, but the Guinness, but it's only like a third of the way.
Anyway, Robbie, you know what those are.
Steve.
Something in there.
It's an Irish car bomb. That's what it is.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar?
What do they drop in there?
What's 126?
It looks like a shot of, what is it?
It's Jaeger.
Barley? Are you a mixologist?
No, but it looks like Bailey's or something.
It looks like these ladies going to get it started. hey, Steve, sorry, but sometime one Friday, come down and sit with us here. We'll buy you a burger and get you a really good cold beer, and we can do this thing in person, all right?
Man, I'm ready. I'm ready to do it.
Hey, congratulations to you and Tim.
I appreciate you.
You bet.
Thanks, Steve. Great stuff. Wow. Matt.
All right.
This place is
all right,
really,
on three. All right, are you ready? One.
Guinness and Bailey's.
We had one of these right down the street. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was an interesting evening.
Well,
all right. They're taking pictures now. And this is a radio show, so I should remember. But there's a group of five young ladies all getting set to do an Irish car bomb.
You remember the old Flamin' Dr. Peppers?
Oh, yeah.
What? Good.
Flamin' Dr. Peppers.
Never heard of it.
Really? Oh. Take a 151 Bacardi with Amaretto.
Anything.
Drop it into a beer. Wyatt's on fire. Chug it. Tastes just like Dr. Pepper. Don't even taste any bit of alcohol.
Wow.
Yeah, I've always wondered why people say it doesn't taste, and I'm not getting on to you. It doesn't taste like
it
alcohol.
It tastes like Dr. Pepper.
I want to taste the alcohol.
Well, you don't want to taste 151.
Well, I'm trying to remember what they're called, but it was Southern Comfort and Club Soda, and you put your hand over
it. Bama Slammer?
Bama Slammer. Yeah. That's what it was.
And then there's the poppers we did in El Paso. I'm not getting into that. all right, come by. We're having a blast. There's a lot of orange in here.
Yep.
It's good to see. Oh, did they do it?
They did it. We missed it.
Yeah. You just did there that live on the radio. So.
Yeah. Matt, you're the play-by-play guy.
It was perfect.
I would love to have done. Hey, you have to do another one so I can call it. We'll be back with more Big Noon Sports. We are coming to you live and having a blast, obviously, at Innis Free right here on University. Come have a car bomb.
Built to win.
Touchdown, Alabama!
Built for championships.
Throws intercepted, Alabama!
Built by Bama.
Alabama is still Alabama.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide welcome the Texas Longhorns to Tuscaloosa. Our coverage begins at 3 on your home for Alabama football.
Tide 100.9, presented by Birmingham Racecourse and Casino. I-459 exit 31. You can be a winner too. Under
the SEC Sports, like kudzu on the roadside. This is Big Noon Sports.
I think word got out in Texas because we have a lot. I saw people walking the door and doing the hook 'em horns thing. So we got a lot of Texas fans here, which is good. Welcome. And we'll see what happens tomorrow night because Alabama, number 3 in the nation, will be taking on the visitors from Austin. The Longhorns, who ranked number 11 and had a relatively impressive first game. Laura Lee Thompson, Bama broker from Advantage Realty Group, is with us. And Laura, let's take a minute. You're so good about contributing and talking about the actual games and what's going on. But let's talk about something that you absolutely know everything about, and that's being the Bama broker. How are things now? I understand the economies of it because I'm paying much higher interest rate than I was. And
yes.
I'm not real fond of it, but you can still work with it and get a property.
Yes. Oh, yes. I mean, we still have properties here in Tuscaloosa. Y'all have to check out some of these game day condos. Let's talk about, there's some that overlook Bryant-Denny, Westgate. Those are
over $1 million. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
No, actually, I can't because I lived in the basement of a garage for 2 years.
Well, we have game day condos. We have student condos. So they run the gamut from anywhere around $200,000 or a little bit less for a one-bedroom, one-bath, all the way up over $1 million. So we have several on the market. But, you know, it's one of these things that you look around and you see all the fans come in and you see this town expand like Walt talked about, and you wonder where they're all staying. Well, they buy condos.
You know, and the numbers you're throwing out are pretty high. But in the long run, when you got three kids that are 4 years apart, and it makes a lot of economic sense, not to mention you got a place, unlike a basement of a garage, that you can go to. You stay with your kids.
Right.
And the concept, I'm really not sure. That didn't exist when we were in school, did it?
No.
Did you live in a condo or did you live in Tutwiler?
Oh, I didn't live in Tut.
I don't blame you.
No, I wasn't a dorm person, so
you don't look like a dorm person.
No, you don't.
I lived at the sorority house, and I lived in an apartment. So, yes, but condos are a thing. They were starting to be built when I was here in school, but now they're everywhere, and it is a great buy for parents that have kids coming in, and then you can turn it over when they graduate. And we're a big Texas school, and they have oil money, right? You know, they're buying condos, trust me.
Well, speaking of Texas, guys, there are just so many intriguing angles and storylines to this game, and it really springs out of last year's game. Alabama wins 20-19, but Texas proved a lot in that game. They proved that they can stand toe-to-toe with Alabama. They got Alabama's attention. And so this is almost, to me, this is like the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth quarter of last year's game. It's an extension of it. You have Steve Sarkisian coming back to Alabama. You have Texas making their first trip to Tuscaloosa since 1902. You have the fact that Nick Saban is 28-2 against his former assistants. And you could argue that Alabama has the most talented roster in the country and certainly looked that way in their win last week over Middle Tennessee. But Texas, you know, they beat Rice 37-10. But just like Alabama, they kept everything sort of nondescript when it comes to play calling and what they wanted to do on both offense and defense. And so last week, Robbie, was really just dress rehearsal for tomorrow. Of all the different storylines that I just mentioned, what to you is the most intriguing? And again, let's just get your sort of take on what is going to decide this game ultimately.
Well, like you said, both you know, played a pretty they kept it vanilla, like you said, a little bit, got through the game and played hard and got a lot of players on the field getting some action. But they're coming to Tuscaloosa tomorrow at night, and that's a big factor. Our fans are going to show up, make it very intimidating, I think. And then you start putting into the hype of the game. Bama's in this game a lot. All right, we play this game a lot. Texas does not. This is going to be a big hype game. How do they control the emotions? How do they show up to play when Bama starts knocking them in the mouth? And how does Bama respond when they knock them in the mouth? Bama's used to that. They can be down and come back. You keep saying last year the quarterback got hurt and we wouldn't have won that game. I disagree. Bryce would have found some way to win it. Okay, you just do. We were going to win the game one way or the other. We played that bad and still won.
But see, Matt and I have been talking about this for a while, right? About how last year, kind of everybody on the Alabama offense was just looking at one person. That was number nine. Number nine's not there anymore.
You know, this team is just so different now.
Balanced.
And one of the things that is different about it is penalties.
Oh.
Last year,
great point.
Every game, both games we lost in Texas, penalties.
Penalties.
Last week, no penalties.
Long
We had a couple.
And that was it.
And one of them was roughing the passer that the quarterback didn't even fall down.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a bogus call. But, you know, that's part of the game. That's going to happen. Well, I ask you, because you and I have been coming to the games here a long time. Me, a lot longer than you. Let's make sure we clarify that. But even when I was here and up to now, I'm not saying Alabama fans are hand-sitters, but there's more juice at Auburn usually and at LSU. I somehow feel that that trend is going to stop tomorrow night. There's something about this game. There's something about Texas coming into this league. There's something about the fact that it's the game of the nation, and these two teams are damn good. I think they're going to blow the roof, not that there is one, off of Bryant Denny tomorrow night.
Oh, I think
they are. They're giving the cheers there.
Yes, but I've been going to the game since I was there. And I'm talking very young, 4 or 5. And so, you know, it's one of those things, the excitement here in Tuscaloosa is big, big, big right now. It's one of the biggest games we've had, as you said, non-conference. And remember, growing up, we had all the big games in Legion Field. So it's awesome to have them here in Bryant Denny, and it's going to be loud, and the lights are going to be going. Our crimson and white lights. So it's
going to
be quite
loud. Robbie, do you think Alabama really on offense is going to be run heavy, just lean on that offensive line? I believe it is the biggest offensive line in college football history. I need to be double checked on that. I know that's a soaring, sweeping statement, but given the fact you got three dudes over 350, I believe, there's more girth up there than there is on any starting offensive line in the NFL. And so to me, this feels like, you know, it's almost like a 2009-2010 Nick Saban, Trent Richardson kind of game.
Yeah, I see that too. But, you know, you can't just line up and run the ball. Like you said, Texas is going to have one of the best defensive lines in the nation all through the year. So that's a big test. You got to stay balanced. And I think with Milroe, he just gives so many options now with the pass option. And what we saw with those receivers getting separation last week, we didn't see last year. So you're going to have to respect their deep pass and the touch that he had with that arm of his. Yes, we're going to line up and play smash mouth and control it, but we're going to also take our shots deep. So it's going to be a balanced attack by our offense. And I expect a big, big output from us, like a 38-40 point range.
And what's Texas going to score?
I have them not scoring many until late and getting some lucky touchdowns. So it's more like a 38, maybe 24 at the end because they got those last scores late. So
great minds think alike. I've got 35-24.
There you go.
We'll get Laura's pick here in a minute. Lars's as well. As we broadcast live from Innisfree. Hopeful that Marcel's going to be able to show up here in just a minute.
I hope so.
If not, let me tell you. Good time, as I think you can really, really hear in the background. A good time being had by all here at Innisfree on University as Alabama gets ready for Texas on Big Noon Sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
It's a dry forecast through early next week. The sky's sunny this afternoon. The high today, 87. Clear and very pleasant tonight, the low 62. For tomorrow and Sunday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 86 and 89 degrees. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best sports talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
Friday, Big Noon Sports is where you ought to be, and that's at Innisfree on University. They have a marvelous menu, and see somebody over here, it looks like they're eating a big old tall salad, and there's a wrap.
See, did you say fries. Big ol'?
Huh?
Big ol'?
Big ol'.
How do you spell that?
Big ol'. B-I-G, then a different
space.
Word.
Space.
Oh. Space.
O-L apostrophe?
No.
O-L-E apostrophe.
O-L-E. Ole.
Big Ole. Ole. Big Ole.
Or sounds like it's just one word.
It's spelled the same way as...
I think it's whatever you want.
Is it, do you say it the same way or spell it the same way as you do Ole Miss? Is that the way it goes?
Yeah.
Do you really care?
No.
It's just a big old salad.
You know, if it's O-L an apostrophe, you know, he's a journalism
I'm still
guy.
Getting used to the Southern diction.
Even though you said you were a
It's
salt.
Been 15 years.
I know.
Still getting used to it?
I'm slow.
All right, I got to ask you this, as long as we've taken a left turn here. Are your children starting to talk Southern?
Oh, my gosh. Autumn, I have twin girls who are six, Autumn and Farrah, and Autumn knows how much it fires me up when they don the Southern accent. And so just to really get me going, she'll drop y'alls and be like, Daddy, I need to get me some food, some good food. And I can't even understand what she's saying, but she's got some acting ability in her. And then she'll just go right back to speaking the King's English of the Midwest.
She's yanking your chain. Is that basically what you're telling us?
Yeah.
All right, Laura Lee.
So it begins.
I don't know if we got your score prediction or not.
Not yet.
Yeah. Well, let's dial it in. Bring it on. What do you think score's going to be, say, 10 o'clock Saturday night?
Well, I was going with 34-17, but that was Walt's score, so I'm going to have to do something a little bit different. I'm going to change it and go 38-17.
Okay. So, two safeties, I guess. I'm trying to do that. Robbie, you said so, didn't you?
Yep, already did. 38-24, I believe.
Because I said 35-24. Lars, have you...
I think this is going to be a back-and-forth affair, and I think Texas is actually going to jump out early and play really well. And I like Alabama late. It's going to come down to the last possession of the game, probably even the last play of the game, and Will Reichert hitting one from 47. So it'll be 31-28 Alabama.
Isn't that what Justin Jones said, or was that your
text
from earlier?
Yeah, that was me. All right. 31-28.
The one thing that...
Meaning Alabama doesn't cover. Although yesterday I said Alabama covers.
Okay. One thing I think that could happen, and kind of obviously hope, is I've been talking about all show and all week. I just think Alabama gets really physical and pounds the ball and opens up play action.
Yeah.
And that is... Play action is a perfect situation for a younger quarterback, because usually when you play action, you're going to draw a safety or a corner your way, okay? And then if you run two receivers in that zone, even their playing zone, somebody's likely going to be open. And... You know, if you have a defense that doesn't know if you're going to run or play fake, they are playing on the balls of their feet. And you get that half second, maybe even less, but it matters. So Alabama comes out, and I think you're going to see Jason Roydell over and over and over again. And I think in the fourth quarter, you're going to see Justice Haynes, and he's going to put it on them, because he has the ability. They all have great ability, let's face it. But I just see something special in Haynes, and he's going to be that back that comes in there and just really polishes them off.
Robbie, going back to when you were in school, you were friends with so many Alabama players. You still are. You're really good buddies with Marcel Darius, who you just mentioned you've been calling and talking with, and he's speaking to the team, and he'll be doing some stuff tomorrow as well. What is it about the Alabama players that they take most pride in doing on Saturdays?
Well, I mean, it just goes back to the days Bear Bryant and everybody step on that field. You have a little pride, and you expect to win when you get here. And when we were here, 92, that team was no difference. Eric Curry, John Cope, Langham, you know, and then the offense, Kevin Lee, Prince Wimley, and Jay Barker, and you know, they play smash mouth. You know, it wasn't pretty, but they hit you. And basically that's what Alabama defense is doing now. They line up and they hit you, both sides of the ball. Now a little bit more wide open with the offense, but name of the game is hit that man in front of you, hit him in the mouth hard, and see if he don't get up.
Yeah, Matt, I think this game is going to come down to offensive line play, defensive line play.
I agree.
It's just going to be football 101, brute force against brute force, and then see who has more of it. You know, two by fours slapping against each other, and may the best man win.
You know, there's one thing that I think we'll prove in this game tomorrow, and you know, offensive lines gel as the season grows. And these guys have really never lined up alongside each other in the way that they did last Saturday night. But that goes back to my physicality. The closer knit, and the more they know, the right guard knows what the right tackle's doing, and the center's checking off to a certain alignment. Experience grows your offensive line in such a tremendous way. And you know, they say, and I think it's true, teams will improve the most from game one to game two. And I think that we are going to see what we got a glimpse of against the Blue Raiders, and that's knocking people in the mouth up front in the trenches.
If Alabama loses this game,
ooh,
what does that mean?
You know, if we lose, which we don't say that around here, we still have a chance with the SEC to make it back up and still get in the SEC championship and then get in the national championship. Texas doesn't have that, I don't believe. Who are they going to play down the road? Oklahoma, maybe, but
yeah.
So there's a little bit more on Bama, I think. I mean, on Texas riding on this, but Bama does not want to lose at home. And I want to see, they're known for their receivers. They're going to challenge Kool-Aid, right? If you think you're the best receivers in the game, you got to go against our best. We're going to see how they line up against him. I bet you he gets a pick or two tomorrow, and that could be a game changer too.
Matt, I think we're just going to learn so much about the identity of this Alabama team tomorrow, in what they are going to be for the rest of the season.
I agree.
Especially on offense.
Yeah, and you mentioned the if-lose, which, quite honestly, Robbie's like. You're only from Nebraska if you think about it.
Yeah, we don't lose around here, man.
Sorry. I just
good volleyball team.
I think, you know.
my new nickname is Lars Volleyball Anderson.
90,000 at the volleyball game.
Oh,
98. Yeah. Sorry.
And four or three. Was it 98,003 or whatever?
Yeah, but it was the global record. Laura Lee, you got some final thoughts on this game as we get ready to rock and roll?
Well, you know, when Sark was with us, he had some great offensive plays. So I think it's going to be a true test of our defense, like how good they really are going up against someone like Sark and the type of creative offensive plays he has. So we welcome him back to town, and we're ready to kick a little butt.
And you know, Sark has been in the lab, so to speak, for about 7 months thinking about this game and how that Alabama defense can be had. Robbie, you expect any trickery from Sark?
Well, he'll have something up. Sark was thinking about this game when they lost last year. So
yeah,
don't,
it's been 12 months.
It kind of showed the way they played at the end of the year. But you know, they got Bo over there too on that defensive, you know, coaching the defensive line. So they're going to have the defense ready to go, fired up. They're going to have Bama's trick plays. But again, those only work for a little while. You're going to line up and play your spot, play your positions. If you focus on your job and focus on the next play and the next play, and if you get beat on one, don't let that deter how you play. Focus on the next play. Bama's going to be just fine, whatever they throw at them.
Alabama has a great opportunity tomorrow night, Matt, to make a statement that will be heard across the country about getting back to what Alabama was, because there is this sense that the dynasty is crumbling. That is a national narrative around the country, and a national narrative around the country. All right. It's hard to concentrate in here when there's this many people. But what I'm saying is,
I understand
that this is an important game, very important game for Alabama to get back to where Nick Saban and the Tide have been.
Lawrence, Robbie made a really good point about Sark circling this game, and I think that's true. I also think the guys in Crimson circle this game, too.
Absolutely.
They've been working on this, I think, just as hard as Texas has been working on Alabama, because it is set up to be everything that we were looking at since the 20-19 win.
Yep. Texas now, definitely got Alabama's attention last year.
Yes, they did. And I think Alabama's going to have Texas's attention. I think Alabama's going to jump out and just dominate the point of attack, and we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, everybody needs to come down here and join us at Ennis Free. You want to order, Larley? You want to get a burger?
No, I think I'm going to see what they have for the meat and three, whatever.
That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah. The problem is eating a meat and three, I'm liable to go out in Lars' car and take a nap. But you know what? That's more my age than my inability to pate. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. I'm ready to see this game tomorrow.
Always good to do these shows with you and Larley. Tell everybody your phone. How do they get in touch with you?
Oh, you can hit me up on social media at the Bama Broker at 205-790-7229.
If you need info, the Bama Broker is the one to call.
Everybody have fun.
Have a great afternoon.
Roll Tide.